Today, we're coming back to the series on Philippians. In today's passage, Paul encourages his readers to follow Paul's example. Of course, followers of Jesus have the ultimate example to follow, Jesus. And if you recall in Philippians chapter 2, Paul does encourage his readers to be imitators of Christ. Coming to chapter 3, Paul does describe himself as an example to follow. So why does Paul say to follow his example? Why does Paul say to follow his example? Let's find out today. Before we get into that, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we ask that you use it to transform us to be more like your son, Jesus. For your glory, amen. All right, let's slide to verse 17. Now, Paul says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Paul encourages every one of his readers, join together, he says, in following my example. So let's find out what reasons Paul gives. If we keep reading, have a look at what Paul says afterwards in verses 18 and 19. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Why does Paul say to follow his example? Paul says to follow his example because for those who don't, Paul says it won't end well for them. And he says this in tears because of how sad it makes him. Their destiny is their destruction. These people are guaranteed to get destroyed, wiped out, demolished like a building. Earlier I mentioned the CDP, the Church Development Project that happened a few years ago. In order for the renovations to happen, the building had to be destroyed. And this is what it looked like at the Stratford campus. That's the outside. And here's one from the inside. It's completely kind of taken down. Now, some of you might hear what Paul says and go, hang on, is that really the consequence for not following your example, destruction? Who's Paul to tell us how to live? Well, notice how Paul describes the people who don't live the way he does. He calls this category of people enemies of the cross of Christ. And Paul says he's warned them before about enemies of the cross of Christ. And it's interesting how Paul uses this phrase, enemies of the cross of Christ, and not just enemies of Christ. There are two other times Paul uses the term cross of Christ in the New Testament. First, in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul says Christ sent him to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Paul describes the cross as being powerful. To the outside, it appears foolish, but it destroys the wisdom of the wise. That sounds like their destiny is their destruction. The other mention of cross of Christ is in Galatians 6:12. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. The people Paul is talking about are the same people here in Philippians who are trying to convince others to become circumcised. As you can see at the start of chapter 3, if you remember, Paul calls them dogs, evildoers, and mutilators of the flesh. They reject the cross, and they reject Christ and his sufficiency for salvation. In Philippians, Paul reminds them that the enemies of the cross of Christ set their mind on earthly things. He says their God is their stomach. The only thing that mattered to these people were eating and drinking, satisfying their appetites. Not that food is bad, but these people made pleasure their God. Idolatry. They might not be bowing down and worshipping food, but their whole life is about chasing desires. Paul also says their glory is in their shame. Not only are these people living in self-indulgence, but they live in an evil way, and they feel good about it. Paul doesn't even mention what kind of shameful things these people find glory in, like he might do in other parts of the New Testament. But Paul says these people are the ones who have their minds set on earthly things. So this warning Paul gives about enemies of the cross of Christ is one of the reasons why he encourages his readers to follow his example. Because the path for those who oppose Jesus is destruction. Paul is basically saying, be like me. Don't be the people who set their mind on earthly things. This is one of the two categories of people Paul talks about. So what's the other category of people? Let's look at verses 20 and 21. but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Paul says the other category of people are those whose citizenship is in heaven. If we don't oppose Jesus, if our minds aren't set on earthly things, then we are citizens of heaven. You might know someone, or you yourself have had to apply for citizenship for a country. And Paul says we are citizens of heaven. And he says citizens of heaven, their minds aren't concerned with the things of this world. And that's because they know they're part of something more, something greater, something out of this world. And this is the second reason why Paul asks the Philippians to follow his example. Here Paul's saying, just like how I'm a citizen of heaven, you too should join me in living like a citizen of heaven. Don't set your mind on earthly things. Follow my example in living as a citizen of heaven. So being a citizen of heaven, it sounds pretty cool, but what does it look like? Paul says it looks like waiting eagerly for a Savior, the one who died for us on the cross, who was raised to life. And that means we don't have to face the consequence of death for rejecting God, because we've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like waiting for that package. You know, you're tracking your order, you're refreshing it just to see where it is, and you can't wait for it. I actually ordered a bunch of tissue boxes that I'm going to receive after this service. But when it comes to waiting for Jesus, that's nothing to sneeze at. Thank you. Furthermore, Paul says when Jesus returns, he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Sounds like Paul could have a more positive body image of himself here. But remember in chapter 1, Paul is in prison for sharing the gospel. By this point in his life, he is tired. He is weak. He physically cannot take it anymore. He says in chapter 1, verse 23, he desires to depart and be with Christ. But despite all this, Paul looks forward to the day when his body will be transformed to be like Jesus' glorious body. Imagine this to be kind of like Doctor Who. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the British TV show. The main character, the Doctor, goes on adventures with different people. But at some point, the Doctor will go on an adventure that is too dangerous. The Doctor could get really sick, be in pain, or even have to sacrifice their life to save someone else. But before they die, they enter this state called regeneration. Their body starts transforming into a new person. They're alive once again. They become healthy, renewed, and re-energized. And just like how the Doctor regenerates, our body with its weaknesses, illnesses, and flaws, Jesus promises to regenerate us. Our bodies will be transformed to be perfect and glorious like Jesus's when he rose from the dead. And our bodies will be free from sickness, pain, and suffering. If you're like me, some of you might wonder if that perfect, glorious body includes a six-pack. I'd like to think so. But now that we've looked over the passage, what does this all mean for us? I think there are a few things we can take away from this passage. Firstly, Paul makes it very clear that there are two types of people. Two types, not three. There are enemies of Christ and there are citizens of heaven. So the first thing that we need to think about is which type of person are we? Which type of person are we? If you don't consider yourself a citizen of heaven, then Paul's warning is especially important. The alternative Paul gives if you're not a citizen of heaven is that you're an enemy of the cross of Christ. And the path for enemies of Jesus leads to destruction. This is very serious. God wants everyone to come to him, to know him personally. So why not respond to that call and accept that citizenship Jesus has for you? If that's something you'd like to find out more about, why not talk to one of the pastors here, a friend, or someone you trust? This is a very important choice in your life that you have to make. Well, what if you consider yourself a citizen of heaven? If you already consider yourself as a citizen of heaven, then I want to draw your attention to the beginning of the passage. Not only does Paul say to join him in following his example, but he also says to keep a lookout for those who are following his example. And I think this verse speaks to Christians who are both new and Christians who are more mature in their faith. Are you someone who would grow from seeing faithful followers of Jesus live their lives? Or are you someone who needs to remember to model being a citizen of heaven to others? I think it's easier to think of yourself as not the example to other people. We can be quite self-critical of ourselves and think we have to live up to a certain standard of godliness that other Christians are living. Maybe you think it's arrogant to think of yourself as good enough so that other people should be looking up to you. And there's definitely some truth to that. For me, when it comes to work in school teaching, quite often you're telling students to be good models to each other. You might hear, wow, look how good this table over here is sitting, or these guys are listening so attentively. And thank you, you guys actually are. In that setting, rarely do I have to think about the way I live around others, outside of just being professional. And I think that carries over to other areas in my life as well, such as church. I'm not always thinking, how can I be modeling a citizen of heaven around others? And maybe it's a question for you to think about. How are you modeling being a citizen of heaven in regards to the way you live, in regards to the way you serve, or the way you present yourself online? Or if you're someone who's relatively new in the faith, if you're not already, start looking at the way faithful Christians are living as a citizen of heaven. And lastly, this applies to all believers. Paul says to eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this relates to what Paul says about what we keep our mind on. Enemies of Jesus keep their mind on earthly things. What do you keep your mind on? This week, what did you not stop thinking about? What did you lose sleep over? What took over your time, your energy, or your money? Maybe you lost sight of the bigger picture of that heavenly citizenship. I'm not saying to ignore or neglect your everyday duties. You have to think about life, your day-to-day, the future. But in all of that, remember to set your mind on Jesus. Personally, for me, a year into marriage, there's a lot of life things to think about, such as what I want to do in the future and what does it look like to serve God. And that's on top of bills, chores, and just work. And it's easy to just look at the people as well out there that live lives that I want, but who aren't living the way that I need to live as a citizen of heaven. But I need to remember not to set my mind on earthly things, but that I'm living for Christ. So I hope that gives you some things to think about. So if you remember the original question, we asked, why does Paul want us to follow his example? And Paul answers this by describing two types of people. The first are enemies of Jesus, whose path leads to destruction. They're also citizens of heaven, people who are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul encourages his readers to join him in living the way he does. So this week, what are you going to set your mind on? What will it look like for you to be a citizen of heaven?